I have to tell you, I might be a little tired this morning. At the 8 o'clock, someone told me after Mass that I didn't say Body of Christ at communion time. I said Happy Birthday. And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what was going on up there. Oh, poor Jesus, huh? What we celebrate today is the culmination of something absolutely extraordinary and in many ways unbelievable without our personal experience, namely that we who are human recognize that we are damaged and that that damage takes place primarily through and because of self-obsession. We think of ourselves and maybe a little close circle of people around us, but in the end, our human nature can be a problem for us. And God saw that too. And that's what this is all about, is that when we see the history of the human race, we see horror after horror, and we see people crying out to the Lord and begging Him, save us. And there's so much darkness and sorrow. And the law could only tell you, this is what you're doing wrong. It couldn't help you to get it right. In the end, God took flesh in the womb of our Blessed Mother. And in that moment, He joined our human nature to His divine nature. Jesus' conception in His mother's womb was one of the greatest things that ever happened to us as a human race. And that God took that human nature and divine nature all mixed together out into the world. What we celebrate today was how bad it got for a bit. That just a week ago, we gathered and we did Palm Sunday when there were crowds of people shouting, Hosanna, praising Jesus, telling Him, in a sense, in a very biblical way, you're the man, yeah? And that Jesus also knew that all of their happiness and praise, it really wasn't trustworthy. And He expressed that to the disciples. It's about to get very bad. He told them, you're all going to leave me very much alone. I'm going to suffer and die. And that's what happened. On Holy Thursday, we all gathered here and we went to the Last Supper with Jesus when He gave us the gift of the Eucharist, when He washed the feet of His disciples. And we walked with Jesus then to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He began to, Scripture says, groan, and He sweated blood, and He was rolling on the ground. Because He was taking on the guilt of the world, all of your sin, all of my sin, all of the sins of the human race, He was pulling into Himself. And we walked with Jesus then on Good Friday when He was abandoned by his friends, that He had spent 3 years living with these men and teaching them. And He told them what was going to happen, but they still weren't ready, and they all ran away from Him. One of them, Scripture says, when they went to grab one of His disciples, that disciple literally ripped off his cloak and ran away naked rather than get caught with Jesus. One of them betrayed Him. One of them denied even knowing Him, and then He was handed over by His own people to the occupational government, and for the next 12 hours was tortured in innumerable ways, all culminating in the moment where they nailed Him to the cross. And here's the crazy part. Everything was going perfectly according to the plan. This is what God intended. This is what God wanted to happen to Him. All of these horrors were His intention for a couple reasons. One is that by becoming sin, by taking all of our sin onto Himself, when He took His last breath and died, our sins died. And not only that, but He had a part two to this mission. that now, as fully human and fully divine, he could enter the underworld. And scripture tells us he descended into hell. He broke open the gates. He chained up the devil, and he took his people there home. That's what he wants to do for each of us. This is what he has done for us. That when you and I sin, we can give that sin to Jesus and receive his forgiveness. It's not Jesus holding forgiveness and telling you, well, when you do this, I'll do that. No, your sins are forgiven, but you have to claim it. And that's what the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation is all about. Here's my sins. Here's the stuff I made. And we give it to our Lord, knowing that he's put it to death. And we need not fear death anymore because of this act. He took our human nature to heaven, and now heaven is open for those of us who have a human nature. This is extraordinary. We owe Jesus everything. Now, we can then take this and do a few different things. One is we can ignore it. We can pretend it didn't happen. We can pretend it was all figurative language. Or we can say, after what you did for me, Jesus, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. He's probably not going to call you to die for him, but I guarantee he's calling us to live for him. And to that end, we who are so grateful to the Lord, we can show him that gratitude in a lot of ways. I've come up with 12. I'm kidding. That's for the people in back. I'm going to come up with 3, all right? I had a priest who did that when I was a kid. He would say, well, I have 10 points today. And I'd be like, no, Jesus, please. So I want us to look at 3 ways that we are called to respond to what Jesus has done to us and for us. Number one, we worship. That's what this is. This is worship. It's not loud music and flashing lights. It's you and I saying to God, I owe you my time. I owe you my attention. And not because God needs it. He doesn't need it. We need it. We need to remember that God is Lord and that he who conquered death is worthy of our worship. He's worth the sacrifice of time. He is worth our worship. And classic God, when we worship, it's good for us. It reminds us of our place in the universe. It pulls us out of this thing inside of us that wants to make it all about me. Kara did a huge poll of people who go to church. And what they found was a majority of them, when they said, why do you go to that church? Their answer was, because it makes me feel good, or I feel loved there. I got to be honest, that's nice, but it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. And I'll tell you, we could probably come up with something more entertaining than Mass, but we won't, because it's not about being entertained. It's about saying to God, I owe you. And by acknowledging that, I become better. So we worship our God. Second, we obey our God. We recognize that there's things called sins. And that God didn't randomly choose some stuff and say, all right, we're going to call that a sin. What God is naming is the stuff that hurts us. We're a lot morally like little kids, right? And I was that kid. My gosh, I always tell people, if I was a fish, I would have got caught, right? Any shiny thing and I'm going to look at it, right? It's a redneck thing. I'm so sorry. But you know, there's that orange glowy thing that the kid wants to touch, and you say, don't touch it, that's a stove. And you're not picking a random rule. You're trying to save the child, and God is trying to save you and I. When he says that's a sin, He's telling us that that thing that gives you a little bit of happy, it hurts you. It hurts you. And God doesn't want you hurt. He doesn't want you and I a slave to our feelings or to our desires. He wants us free. So we obey him, even when we don't like what God is saying. We worship him. We obey him. And then finally, for the folks standing, finally, nobody found that funny at all. Have you ever been the people standing? It's truly awful. All right. And maybe it's just because I'm fat. I don't know. Okay, it's because I'm fat. Somebody write that down. All right. Just going to sit down. Oh, poor Jesus. Do you see why he didn't want me to get married? Do you see it now? All right. So we worship our God, we obey our God, and then we imitate our God. Look at him. How is that beautiful? An innocent man tortured to death. I'll tell you how it's beautiful. It's because he did it out of love. And anyone can say, I love you. But if they don't back it up with sacrifice, you will stop believing them, and you should. We sacrifice, and not just for the people we love, but because God calls us to. We recognize every human, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, they are filled with the dignity of the living God, and they are worth our sacrifice. They are worth our time. They are worth our love. When we're at work, we give all we have because that's what Christians do. Look at what he did. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. He bled before this. He's human. But this is where he gave all of his blood because that's how God thinks. That's how God loves. That's how you and I must be. So that's our challenge, guys. To be filled with gratitude that heaven is a possibility for us. To be filled with gratitude that sin has no power over us except that which we give it, all because of him. And in our gratitude, we will worship our God. He's worth that. We will obey our God. It's good for us. And we will imitate our God. That's good for the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right.